business meeting, now in session, October 14th, 2025. It is 5:01 PM, we're meeting virtually and in person at the Kiawanda Community Center, Fay Jensen, Pacific City, Oregon. Rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. They will refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. And also be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions, as well as having refrained from any speech of a political nature. Okay, we'll start with a roll call. Director Starofska?
Here.
Director Anderson?
Here.
Director Shoemaker?
Here.
Director Dole?
Here.
This is Director Donahue. I am the chair. We have a full quorum of five directors. We'll now read the minutes. Item number four is the minutes of the September 9th, 2025 business meeting. Are there any corrections or admissions?
I just have a point of clarification, or I need a point of clarification. Last meeting we had a quorum with two absent, but I'm wondering, in voting to approve the minutes from the previous meeting, am I wrong in thinking that it takes a majority of the entire membership of the board to adopt a motion, resolution, or ordinance?
No. In this case, it takes a majority of those that were present to approve these minutes.
Okay, because the language says a majority of a quorum is insufficient.
Who says that?
It's written in our handbook.
A majority, run that by me again?
A majority of a quorum is insufficient. There's a mind bender for you.
Well, reading the first thing it says, in Oregon it takes a majority of the entire membership of the board to adopt a motion, resolution, or ordinance.
So that doesn't make any sense.
It's kind of contradictory, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't do that.
So it takes, we have a membership of five. It takes three to pass, regardless of whether there's three there, four there, or five there. So if you have three there, which there were last time, and everyone voted for something, then it passes.
Okay.
And a question for the group, if a board member was absent at a meeting, does that mean that they have to abstain from approving the minutes for that meeting?
Yes.
So that means that we'll need the people who missed the last meeting to abstain for the approval of the meetings for the previous month. Is that right?
Correct.
I did find, I believe, an error in the minutes. I think there was a spot in there where we had Ann Price's name instead of Max Shoemaker's name. That was on last month's meetings, correct, Rochelle?
Just a second, I have to turn her on. Rochelle?
Sorry, you guys are breaking up a lot.
Yeah, we got a real bad internet connection.
We're having problem with internet. Okay, what was that?
See, like there's Director Price on the nays and the yays. And Director Price should not be on there. It should be Director Shoemaker. And she's listed in every section.
Oh.
I see. You're right.
Uh-huh. So that was something we caught at the last minute and didn't have time to send out an amended minutes.
Uh-huh.
But that was one thing that we noticed.
That's a good catch.
It was correct on this first motion.
Page, Shoemaker is there.
But not after that.
But on two places on the
three places.
Shoemaker.
Okay.
Be.
Okay.
Okay.
So that would be corrected. All right. And if we have a quorum, so it has to be a majority of a quorum that would vote on this, and that would be the three members present. Now, a majority of a three-member present would be two votes, correct? Majority of a quorum, as per... So that's contradictory is what you're looking at there.
No.
I mean, according to... Anyway, a majority of a quorum. So I would entertain a motion to accept these minutes as corrected unless somebody has any other corrections.
Okay, so I make a motion that we accept the meetings of the September 9th Pacific City Joint Water Sewer or Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting.
I second it.
So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. No. Motion's carried. That was the most complicated minute.
Sorry.
My time around here.
I was just reading the handbook.
We probably make them more complicated.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that was fun. Okay, we'll move on to item 5, financial report. Accounts payable for September 15th and September 30th, 2025. Are there any questions? Corrections?
I have questions.
Yes.
So further on in the manager's report, there's talk about these, how do you say that, John? Xylem?
Mm-hmm.
Xylem Motors, but it shows there's an expense on for September's business. So they were purchased in September, even though it looked, was that a copy of the quote that comes further in the manager's meeting?
Yes, that's what it was.
That's the okay, Woods yeah. Lift Station? Is that the yeah. one you're referring
yeah,
to?
Woods, yeah, Woods Lift Station. Okay, so that was an expense for last month.
Yes.
It shows up on the expense report.
And to be in full disclosure, we're late getting board approval on that purchase because we already ordered it. So, but it's been budgeted for, and it is on our list of things to do. So I assume that was an oversight and won't come back to bite me.
Well, that's something that was already budgeted for, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rebates? Do we get rebates on any of those motors, replacing motors, or are they pumps?
Well, we should be eligible for rebates on this because we will be installing variable frequency drives on the pumps that the old pumps never had those, and it is the VFDs that make us eligible for pump rebates okay. with Tillamook PUD.
Less energy.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a question. Are you done, Dan? Do you have
The only other thing I had is a question for John. I got an email to my Pacific City Joint Water Sewer Authority email. It was from Omnia Partners is a conglomeration of procurement power, I guess, and I just wondered if that was something that the district ever looked at, was using an outside agency to procure stuff.
No.
Okay.
No. I'm guessing it was a company looking to...
It was a marketing email.
A marketing email
yes.
is, I think, what it okay. must have been, because we don't use anybody, any third party, to assist with our consulting. We've got a lot of people interested in us advertising our competitive bid projects on their websites. I get that all the time, but I haven't received one that doesn't sound familiar to me, Dan.
Okay. Well, it was in my account email.
Point of order before we go any further. I did notice that Tim Hirsch did come online as a guest shortly after we started the meeting. I didn't get an exact time, but we'll just call it like 5:05. And Were there any other questions?
A comment. The painting that was done on holding tank. Help me, John.
Yes, our digesters and our holding tanks.
Okay. That looked to me like that was very reasonable. $6,800.
Yeah, they did a lot of work. They put a coat of primer and two coats of paint on each one. And they really did a good job, cleaned up their mess. We were quite happy with the work.
How long did it take to do the job?
Once they got started, the weather, there were a couple of days of bad weather. Otherwise, it would have been faster. It was done within 2 weeks, but it would have been done in probably just a little over a week if we didn't have a couple of days of rainy weather mixed in there.
Okay. I had one question for you. On the 30th of September, there were four entries to the Oregon State Treasury. It said Oregon Unclaimed Property Program, and it says Untamed Property Write-Off. It wasn't very much money. It was under $100, those four deals. What was that about?
That was for a refund. Somebody had apparently sold their house, and as is often the case, we owe a bit of a refund on their billing when that happens. Unfortunately, this person passed away before they could cash the check. And so it's kind of been sitting out there our auditors wanted us to go through this process so that we had a way to formally write it off the books.
Right.
And that's what those entries were for.
Because we're a public entity, it went through the state of Oregon's system.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I gotcha. Okay, that's all the questions I had for that.
One further question, which is not just on the expenses for last month, but on the financial, in combination with the financial report. It appeared as though, let's see, where are my notes here? Electrical, TPUD, pages 10 and 13 of the financial report. There's $48,000 budgeted, which is $4,000 per month, but there was $7,800 in September alone. And maybe things balance out. It was summer, and maybe things ebbs and flows for expenses. And we can get to that by looking at pages 10 and 13.
Yeah. Rochelle, did you catch that?
Yes.
We were unaware that they were going to raise the rates so high, so yes, we will be over budget on them.
Thank you. Okay.
Now, in reviewing the expenses for last month, are we combining looking at financial report at the same time? I mean, are we approving just the expenses, or are we...
Just accounts payable for this time period.
Okay, but I have questions about the budget.
Yeah, that's the next item.
That's the next item on the agenda. So if there are no other questions, I'd accept a motion to accept the accounts payable.
I move that the accounts payable for September 15th and September 30th, 2025, be accepted as presented.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to accept accounts payable for September 15th and September 30th of this year. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, on the budget, our general ledger for fiscal year 25-26, I understand we have a question from Director Dole.
Page 5, revenues, CIC and SDC, it looks like we're low. Page 7, revenues, CIC, SDC, seems to look okay, but the gut feeling for building construction and, you know, some revenue coming in, I just kind of, it looks slow for, on page 5, which would be the sewer side, I believe. I just wondered if there was any comments by you, John, or Rochelle.
That is the sewer SDC CIC fund, 004.
Yeah, Rochelle, is that a reflection on the fact we've only had one sewer SDC for, so far for the year? I want to be sure that I'm understanding your question. I want to be sure Rochelle's understanding it as well.
Yeah, it looks like we're lagging behind if you look at it annually.
Yeah.
And I know there's 10, you usually figure on 10,
networking.
Both sides.
We're having trouble connecting again.
Yeah.
There it goes. Go ahead, Rochelle. Rochelle, did you
hear? We've only received one SDC thus far.
Right.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, we've only received one SDC so far.
And we're estimated 10?
For the fiscal
year.
For
the fiscal year.
And that year ends in June.
Right. Yeah, so we still got a lot of year left.
Right.
Yeah, I just wondered if there a feeling for what's going on in the area, slowdown?
Well, I can tell you that there seems to be a lot of building going on, but the building doesn't always coincide with the SDCs. A lot of times people wait till they actually need water and sewer services at the house before they come in and pay those. Yeah, but there does seem to be a fair amount of building going on in town.
There is.
Yeah, we were 3 shy last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But looks like it's picking up now. So, yeah.
So just in Kiwanda Shores, looking around, there's 5 houses under construction that have just started within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, so help me understand, at what point does the builder have to get approval for water sewer hookups?
Well, they need an availability letter from us before they can begin building, before the county even gives them a building
permit. Yeah,
that's
part of the permitting process.
But the SDCs, which is, okay, now I'm ready for water and sewer, I'm ready to have my meter installed, ready for all that. A lot of times that doesn't happen until after the majority of the building is done and right before the folks move in to the newly constructed home.
It's a big chunk of change, and most contractors aren't going to put that money out until they have to.
Until they have to.
I contested that when I built mine. That was the last thing that I paid.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's usually the case.
No, they all do.
That's usually the case. Okay. So if the building is any indication, we should do all right this year. But until we have the application and the check in hand, it's hard to predict when the stuff will trickle in.
Okay. All right. May I continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pages 6 and 8. Category capital outlay. I'm wondering if that is the Woods pumps that are in there. It looks high, like it's bouncing on the budgeted amount, which I think is I don't have the page.
What page was that again?
6 and 8. It's probably one is water, one is sewer. Mm-hmm. Let me get there.
Yeah. I've only got a copy of that.
I guess I don't really understand your question.
Well, it looks like the capital outlay, for example...
Look at the top of the column. Are we talking about a budgeted amount, a period amount, or
year-to-date? Period amount, year-to-date amount, and the year-to-date variance.
Okay.
So, for example, on page... on page 8, you can see there where it's budgeted amount $25,000, period amount $45,000, year-to-date $55,502.
Yeah, we evidently are spending more than we took in.
Rochelle?
And this is actually...
We're getting one additional question on the capital outlay.
We've spent more on equipment.
We spent more on equipment?
Somebody wanted to buy a locator, remember?
Oh, yes, we bought a locator, yes. Yes, is that what accounts for most of
them? And we bought that pump.
And we bought the pump. And the pump, okay, so since the year has started, we have bought that utility pump that the board approved, and we bought
locator.
Yeah, it's a ground penetrating radar locator. Yeah.
I remember you talking about that.
I think there's a couple other things that we purchased that we needed. There was.
So year to date, we're double what we budgeted.
Well.
That you noticed, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So obviously that's a category we'll have to
look at.
Have to keep careful track of.
Right.
Yeah. The locator, I will say, was not a budgeted for item. It was a fairly expensive purchase. It was about $22,000. But we've now, as you guys I'm sure are aware, we have got fiber optic boring going in all over town. Mm-hmm. And they're just getting started. We have this boring work. My understanding is there will be a fiber service to every home and business in town.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
So this work's going to be going on daily for probably another year. And we, with that type of pressure, we wanted to increase the accuracy of our locates, because all they have to do is hit hit one or two water lines, and we've already paid for that locator. Yeah. Now, this was something that normally we would have budgeted for, and we were planning to budget for next year, but when Astound, it's Astound, right? When Astound came into town and are going to be boring all over town this comprehensively for this long, we figured this would be a good investment, because without it, we would be hitting a lot more water lines than we are
right.
with the benefit of the new locating equipment.
Yeah. What also, we pay a company for locates also.
We do our own locates.
We do our own locates?
Yeah.
Well, I noticed, on a lot of accounts payable, there's a note that says this is a locate.
One Call Concepts sends out locates. You can call 811. They will
and we have
out
to pay them for that?
Yep.
Yeah. So we essentially pay for the locates they send us.
We do.
And so not only do we have to respond with time and effort for those locates, but they bill us for...
the customer gets to call it in for free.
Yeah, the customer calls it in for free, but it's the utility that pays. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if memory serves, because we are over budget on this and we're going to be kind of watching this particular line item, we can amend the budget. If needed, if this continues because of ongoing construction and you have to spend more money than we budgeted for, we can amend the budget. It doesn't necessarily have, it'll have to be a special meeting to do that, but there is a process to do that if necessary, so you might keep that in mind.
Yeah. I think that we're going to, we won't have much pressure on that line item, I don't think, going forward.
We're not in trouble unless we go over budget within that entire group underneath the capital outlay. If we went over budget on the whole thing, then we would be in trouble. But we've got plenty of money budgeted in there.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
For a different line item.
And it's not uncommon within a group to be a lot more under or over budget than you anticipated for a single line item in that group, right?
Yeah.
So it is something that we, you know, we're aware of and will be tuned into, but it's not as uncommon on those individual line items as you might think. It's a fairly large, complex budget.
Yeah.
So
on page 10, help me out, Rochelle, equipment R and M.
Repair and maintenance.
Okay. That looks to be bouncing on the high side as well.
Where? R and M,
page,
where?
Page 10.
Which one?
Probably
104. It's 104. Which line item?
Hang on. I didn't get the line item. Just a second.
It's office equipment, wastewater treatment plant.
It just says R and M. Equipment R and M, line item 01340300.
Okay.
It's actually, it's on both sides. It's on the sewer and the water side.
You're not over.
I mean, we're right in the middle. That line item covers the backhoe and any repair and maintenance and the back trailer. So we did have some parts break on the back trailer recently that we had to replace. Yeah. And they were not cheap.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Question for you. On insurance,
It depends on which insurance.
Well, it just said there was a line item that said insurance. The question is more general than that. Anybody that has something to do with finances is supposed to be bonded insurance-wise.
Okay.
And it recommended that board members be a part of that bonding. And I just wondered if that's...
I can look at our property and casualty.
Like, technically, you should be bonded.
We may be bonded under an umbrella.
Well, a board, it's very common to have a board and officer's liability policy for any kind of either nonprofit and or public utility. So... check our B&O insurance.
I think that does include board members.
I believe
but
it's in there. We're covered under a lot of things, prime coverage.
Yeah, it says the district board shall require a bond or irrevocable credit, letter of credit of any board member or employee of the district who is charged with possession and control of district funds and properties. The board shall fix the amount of the bond and the premium shall be paid from district funds.
Yeah. John should be bonded, you should be bonded, and all the board members are bonded.
I guess we are.
But it'd be good to just to make a check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can check into that. I'd be surprised if it wasn't the case, we'll check.
Okay. That's all.
Okay. Just a side note. The time it takes to go through these questions... that you could easily answer these questions and they can correct the accounts payable if you ask outside of the board meeting. We just spent 15 minutes.
I understand that, Tom. I think the thing that I'm challenged with is just getting more familiar as a representative of the owners, and I figured that my ignorance could be benefit other board members rather than me going right to her and asking or him and asking, then nobody learns anything from my ignorance.
Well, that's true, but we've all had a lot of experience at this, and maybe you'd be better off, I think, talking directly to her so she you can understand how the finances are laid out, how the different accounts are. You remember the budget, how the budget committee and how they were described? Well, sometimes going through your general ledger can be confusing, but in this case, you did catch something earlier about being over budget on that one line item, and I did appreciate that, and that's appropriate. But most of those, most of your questions could be solved outside this meeting.
Noted.
I'm not trying to chastise you. I'm just making a friendly suggestion. But was there anything else that caught your eye that you have a question about while we're doing it?
No.
Okay, cool. Are there any, does anybody else have any? By the way, thank you for catching that one so we can look at it. Okay, let's move on. Item 6, manager's report. John?
Thank you. So as we talked about, we're off to a bit of a slow start on STCs for the year to date. We've got 2 water and 1 sewer. Sometimes we get a check for one ahead of the other. Sometimes we find that one has already been paid for a tax lot or a property, but the other one hasn't. And so it's not really that unusual to be askew here between water and sewer, as we are now with 2 on the water side and only 1 on the sewer. But we are anticipating more of that stuff to come in. In the manager's report, I repeated what I put in there last month about geographic information system we are working on. This is something, sometimes I carry things in the manager's report for a couple of months if they're just ongoing or if they're a big enough thing that I really want it to sink home with the board of directors. We've already made amazing progress on this. With us doing all these locates, now is the perfect time to get them on the GIS. And I mean, we're TVing sewer lines and measuring footage to sewer laterals and to sewer services. And with this new locating equipment, we feel very good in a precise manner, in most cases, where that water line is. So we are converting that to our GSI system, our GIS system, with an accurate GPS locator that the locator, you'd be standing on top of the manhole cover, get your coordinates, and it drops right into the program, and boom, there's the pin for that manhole. Exactly.
Is that like a sensor that you take out?
It's a GPS receiver. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but something with a higher degree of accuracy than most Garmins that, you know, hunters take out into the field or what have you. You know, with some of the store-bought ones, you're lucky to be accurate within, you know, 10 or 20 feet. This one's accurate within inches. So,
how many people have access to this GIS system?
Well, we've currently got 4 of them that are already already very adept at it and are working on it.
Okay. So 4 employees, including yourself.
I'm not one of them doing it. They've all beat me to the punch here. But they are all taking it very seriously. They're actually having fun with it, and
do they have a personal device besides their phone?
Yes, they have a separate device. Yeah,
just for this
purpose.
Okay.
And as I say, one of the nice things about the locator, that the ground penetrating locator we got, It is GPS compatible and compatible with our GIS program as well. So we have made tremendous progress. I mean, even at the clip we're going, we're probably still looking at a year to get it completely populated. But once it's populated, or at least to the point that we feel it is near finished product, we'd like to, during a board meeting, do a short demo and show you what it is and show you what it looks like.
That'd be fun.
And, you know, this is, as I say, this is going to make future locates far more easier, far more accurate. It's going to make
drawings obsolete.
Well, it's going to make a lot of our paper drawings virtually obsolete, which is what these GIS systems do.
Are we going to coordinate with, like, the county or the state?
Not on this project. This is each individual. The county has a system. All the small water and sewer districts or public works departments along the coast have a system, or they're working on a system. The system, the platform we're using is been used by NETARTS and Oceanside and Nesquin and a couple of others. You know, it's if we were the size of Portland, we'd hire an outfit to do this for us. But what's great about this is we can do it ourselves. The platform is cheap. And the guys are doing a great job with it, and they actually enjoy it and are having fun with it. And you know, while we're doing all these locates every single day for all this fiber optic boring going on in town, now's a perfect time to populate that. So it's really going gangbusters, a lot of progress. It's going to be a tremendously useful tool for us going forward. Especially when we lose some of the people with the long-term knowledge about where pipes are roughly in the ground and so forth.
Good point.
And this is, you know, it's really going to be a benefit for us for many years to come. So it's worth reiterating that in this month's manager's report. And that's why I included it again. I just wanted to update everybody really on how much progress we've made just since last month, and it's pretty remarkable. So we will continue on with that, and you know, sometime in the not too distant future, hopefully we will consider it done, although something like this is never entirely done, right? Any change we make to the system, it's got to be brought in to the GIS and so forth. So install a new water line. Now you've got to go into the GIS system and graphically represent that. So it's something that will always be kind of a continuing improvement thing, but really pleased with the progress made thus far. Also wanted to talk briefly about the generator enclosure project. You guys might recall I wasted some time waiting for a contractor to kind of head up this project for me. Couldn't find it, so I'm heading it up myself, and we are making very, very good progress. Since we met last month, the concrete slabs have been poured at the spill wall and the dune wells. As I mentioned, the tough shed buildings will be installed at those sites on November 5th and 6th, which is only a few weeks away. And I believe this week is when we are supposed to do the ground prep and get the concrete pad poured up at the 300K, which would be the last site that's needed. And then we can order the tough shed for that location as well. Once that's done, we'll have some finished electrical work to do, some finished mechanical work to do, some fencing repair or rebuild that we have to do at a couple of locations. But things are going fast, and within a couple of months, we should have these in, and they'll be functional, and this project will be done. So Wanted to bring everybody up to speed on that. Mentioned that we are ordered, this was also budgeted for, we ordered a 40-foot shipping container. Those of you in the military might know it as a Connex box. That will be delivered this week. It will be located, we have two shop buildings at the wastewater treatment plant on the north side. This box will be permanently located on the west side of the east shop. And it's going to be mainly for additional storage, which we need. If you walk through our yard in the back part of the yard there, we've got a lot of stuff just sitting out, and it's look and it doesn't really look very
not secure either.
Well, it's not as secure as it should be. It's out in the weather, and it just kind of looks cluttered and trashy.
How much did the box cost? Have we installed it yet?
No, they will be bringing it this Thursday in 2 days, and I believe it was
$9,000,
and that is
with the modifications.
And that's with a man door installed in the box. So
instead of having to go with the barn doors, you've got a man door.
Well, we've got the barn doors on each end, but we also got a man door in the middle.
Easier to get in.
Oh. Yeah. Eventually, we'll bring a little bit of power to it just so we can have a little bit of lighting in there. There'll be some talk about, you know, do we want to build some shelving for some types of parts. But we do need additional storage.
Does that come with a wooden floor already installed?
Or? Yep. Yeah, I think most of these have a wooden floor. They're a steel box, but I think most of them have wood floors, I believe. And but it will still have the big swinging doors on both ends and with a man door in the middle. It's good to have a swinging door on both ends because if you stack something in the back and you need it and you got a bunch of stuff in front, well, guess what you got to do? You got to load everything out just to reach the stuff in the back. With those doors on each end, that'll make it easy. And with the man door just going in and grabbing something that you can carry will be a lot easier to do as well. So,
considering security concerns in the past, this is a good idea.
Yeah, and it'll be kept locked when we're not using it. So just from an appearance standpoint, security standpoint, and a getting stuff out of the weather standpoint, this is going to help us with a lot of our parts. We'll keep our valve boxes in there, our plastic valve boxes. We'll probably keep our metal manhole rings and other things in there just so we can get them out of the elements and out of the yard, and it'll be a good addition for us.
It's going to be painted bright red or camo?
Well, it's going to come in gray, but we will probably eventually paint it with the same color scheme we paint our buildings. So, other than that, I usually put a little something in here about the employees, if there's anything to report, but nothing really noteworthy to report for last month. So,
is everybody CDL certified now that was getting certified?
Well, I think we'd like to do at least one more, but we have not sent that person to the class yet. So we do have four licensed CDL drivers with the addition of the two that we just recently certified, which puts us in a much better position. Our concern is, well, an after-hours water break, who's on call? Well, we'll have somebody on call that knows how to repair a water break, but he may not have a CDL and can take the Vactor truck or the trailer down there. So I think we would like to get at least one more person done, but we have not enrolled them yet. I think the idea is to wait till after the first of the year, try to get caught up a little bit from the two employees who were gone for a month getting certified the first time, and then we will make a final decision about who and how many to also get certified or to get licensed, I should say.
What was the cost of those?
It's supposed to be about $5,250, but we applied for a scholarship.
Oh, okay.
And each person got 50% scholarship.
Oh,
wow.
So really?
We only paid 27.
Wow.
Great.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yep, and that's what we would pursue again for any additional licensees. But that's it, really it for the manager's report, if there's no questions.
About the meeting coming up?
Yeah, you mean the... that will be under the new business and old business items on the agenda.
The lift station is for Woods. Is that being started, or...?
It is. We're definitely getting the ball rolling on that. Now, that's under new business. Did you want to talk about unfinished business first? Well, at least mention that we don't have any unfinished business.
Excuse me. Now I see it. Excuse me. That's it for your manager's report. We'll go to unfinished business. We have nothing on the agenda, so we'll move from there to new business, which is, once again, the lift station.
Yeah, and, you know, when we did the Roger and Cindy lift station, the most recent upgrades we've done, you know, I kind of mentioning, well, this last two we have. Well, I probably should have been a little more accurate in how I characterize that. That was the last of the package stations that are all the same. We've got Madrona and Ella and Straub and Beachy and Cindy and Rogers that are all the same size, all the same vintage. The Woods lift station, which will truly be our last lift station upgrade, is a different critter. It's a much bigger lift station. It is I had put down 480 volt three phase. I actually think it's 460 volt three phase, but it is a high voltage power source to this lift station, where all the other lift stations are just standard voltage. And it does add a little cost and complexity to the project. I'm currently working with the county. I've got a development permit put in because this is in the Nisteca River floodplain, which means that I have to complete a development permit and get approval from the county. It's not in the floodway, which would make it a much tougher chore. But it is in the floodplain, which still means that we need to do a pre and a post elevation certificate with a surveyor for that. And the idea is, as long as we can demonstrate to the county that the panel will be mounted above the flood level, then the county's going to agree to it. We've been down this road with the county on several of our previous lift station upgrades. But it is a process we have to go through. I just got to get approval from the county. We will get it, but that's what I'm working on right now, is to get that permit approval. But it won't be any issue. It'll just add a little bit more time, a little bit more pain to the process. But
that's pretty much standard procedure along the river and floodplain. They'll provide all that documentation for you, actually.
Yeah. Who will then?
The county should provide the actual height restrictions on that.
Well, they require us to do a pre and a post elevation certificate. They don't
by a surveyor. They don't give you an actual height, though.
They don't give us a height. I mean, they can see the flood level using the the NAS 88 or NAS 86, but they still require us to have that done. And you know, the pre, I think, is to have a surveyor using those resources come in and put together the information on the pre-elevation certificate, and then the post-certificate is meant to be, okay, this is the way it was actually built. But the county, if I would love it if the county did that for us, but they have never done it for us, and in fact, they told me I need that before I can move any further with these projects.
Interesting.
So now that's different than a no-rise analysis and stuff, which is a lot bigger thing than just the pre and post elevations. If we were doing anything substantial in the floodway, we would have to go through a lot more than we currently have to for this. But we have the application in. There's no reason they won't approve it, but we do have to get that approval.
I have a question, just for the benefit of owners. This equipment is being replaced because it's failed or it's expensive to maintain and it requires a lot of maintenance. So we're upgrading to...
It's actually all the above. Some of the board members may remember how often we would have to pull pumps to unclog pumps with our old system. And this has the same type of pumps, a bigger horsepower, but they have the same type of pumps as all our other lift stations had. Two people spent half a day every single day just going around pulling pumps and just pulling the rags out of it and stuff.
Diapers.
You know, baby wipes, all that stuff. Since we've got these new pumps, we haven't had to pull a single pump other than one that did suck a bolt into it, which it did not like. Are going with these flight pumps, these smart pumps on these VFDs, not only have they greatly reduced our maintenance, but they are, this will be actually the last site that we have standardized across the board in nearly every location with the same brand of pump, in most cases the same exact model of pump. So, you know, standardization was part of it. Lowering our maintenance was other. This location, these pumps are at the end of their service life. And the panel, usually when you replace, you get new submersible pumps in a lift station, you replace the panel too because the control system's meant to work with the newer pumps. That electrical panel is... quite frankly, not up to code, and the electrical panel at this site has to be reworked for that reason alone. So these pumps come with a new panel that will have the smart runs, the VFDs, all of the control systems that the pumps are meant to work with. So there's a number of reasons we're doing it, it's time to do it at this location. Just because the pumps are at the end of their service life.
Is there going to be any enclosure that has to be upgraded for this, or is it just the equipment out in the open?
It's basically just an outdoor mounted electrical panel, two new pumps in the wet well, and a new control system. We're getting rid of the mercury floats that have been the control systems in these, and going to a pressure transducer system, which is lower maintenance and has higher accuracy.
I noticed we only have one vendor for this that you put in the packet. Is this the same company that has similar pumps and all our other gear?
That's why we're claiming sole source on this.
You call it what?
Sole source.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we're claiming sole source on this because we are trying to standardize. This is really the last location, and we will be standardized across the board, and we would like to continue on that course.
How accurate is this number?
The number is accurate, except I notice at the bottom, and maybe it was on page 2, that they didn't carry the freight cost down with it.
There it is.
So there's the freight charge. And
they did carry it down.
Yeah. Is there a page 2 on that, though? I thought there was a page 2.
Yeah, there is a page 2.
Yeah, if you look at... it's this number down here.
3269.
You see that number... did not account for the
excluding freight, but it did show
on the front.
Did show on the front.
Yes.
Okay, so you need a, this is an action item for the board then. We need a motion, precise motion. How long is this price good for?
It's good. No worries there.
Okay, so we need a motion for this price and for the company of Xylem Single Source, you call it? For the Woods Lift Station.
I move that the bid from Xylem that was presented on June 20th, 2025 for the Woods Lift Station in the amount of $72,983.41 be approved.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second for the Woods Lift Station equipment for Xylem Company, Water Solutions USA, Inc., for $72,983.41. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Item 8B, our next business meeting.
What does that say, too?
Which falls on November 11th, which is Veterans Day.
I think that's right.
The office is closed. I don't really know.
What?
And I don't think John does.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, come on.
I think it was 480, but then I thought I read 460.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to change it to the next week. If everybody's okay with that, I'm good with changing it to the next week. Tuesday.
Leave it on a Tuesday and go
leave it on a Tuesday.
Later. How's that set with you guys?
That would be Tuesday the 18th, correct?
That's the 18th, I believe, yes.
You'll be in Australia?
No, I'll be here. In Pacific City.
So the 18th?
Are you trying to get rid of me?
No, I want you to put me in your suitcase on the way straight.
If no one has a problem with that, we'll just go ahead and change it.
Okay.
Tuesday the 18th it is. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Do we have any questions from our guest over here? None. Okay, at this time, it is 5:58, and we're going to recess for executive session under Oregon Revised Statute 192.660. 2I, to review and evaluate the employment-related performance of the chief executive officer of any body, a public officer, employee, or staff member who does not request an open hearing. This is the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting on October 14th, 2025. We have now reconvened at 7:17 p.m. after coming out of executive session as per ORS 192.660, (2)(I), to review and evaluate the employment-related performance of the chief executive officer of the authority. We are now in session. I will entertain a motion.
On behalf of the board, I would like to thank John for the great job that he's been doing. We really appreciate his hard work, and we are looking forward to continuing to work with him in the future. And that I would like to propose a pay increase of 3.5% retroactive to July 1st, 2025, plus an extra week of vacation time.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to give our executive authority manager a 3.5% pay raise with an extra week of vacation. Is there any discussion?
I do have a question. I'm happy with July 1st. July 19th was my anniversary.
We know, but we're doing a fiscal year.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that I pointed that out.
There's no further discretion or discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. There is no further business. We'll adjourn. It is now 7:19 p.m. Thank you, everyone.